SpaceX steps closer to human spaceflight. Cessna begins TTX deliveries. And Embry-Riddle's female pilots take top honors. This is Aero News for Wednesday, July 3, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Space Exploration Technologies Corporation, SpaceX of Hawthorne, California, recently completed two milestones for NASA's Commercial Crew Integrated Capability Initiative, or CCICAP, which is intended to make commercial human spaceflight services available for government and commercial customers. These were the fifth and sixth milestones for SpaceX, a partner in NASA's Commercial Crew Program, CCP. The company is on track to complete all 14 of its CCICAP milestones by mid-2014. In a human certification plan review on May 7th, SpaceX outlined all the steps the company plans to take to certify its system for crewed missions, including testing, demonstrations, analysis, inspections, verifications, and training events. This was a key milestone to ensure SpaceX's integrated Falcon 9 rocket and Dragon capsule will be safe to carry humans to and from low Earth orbit, beginning in the middle of this decade. During an upcoming pad abort test later this summer, SpaceX will perform a recovery operation following a simulated Falcon 9 anomaly. Plans call for the company to put one of its Dragon capsules on a launch pad test stand, count down to T-0, ignite the system's Super Draco abort engines, and initiate a separation command. At around 5,000 feet, the spacecraft's parachutes will deploy, resulting in a splashdown in the Atlantic Ocean. SpaceX is one of three U.S. companies participating in NASA's CCICAP initiative. Future development and certification initiatives eventually will lead to the availability of human spaceflight services for NASA to send its astronauts to the International Space Station. The first production Cessna TTX airplanes were delivered last week following a ceremony at the Cessna facility in Independence, Kansas. According to Cessna, the TTX holds the distinction of being the world's fastest commercially produced and certified fixed-gear single-engine aircraft. A high-performance all-composite aircraft, Cessna says it designed the TTX for advanced pilots with advanced technology and greater comfort in mind. The company says the side stick control and additional horsepower provide advanced TTX pilots with speed and performance close to that of a jet. Production line flow of the TTX was announced in April of 2012. The aircraft has a top speed of 235 knots, an operating ceiling of 25,000 feet, and an optional flight into known icing system, enabling pilots to file flight plans allowing for varying weather conditions. The TTX is the first aircraft to be equipped with the Garmin G2000 avionics system, which features a glass cockpit with dual 14.1-inch high-definition displays and touchscreen controls. For the second year in a row, Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University pilots from its Daytona Beach, Florida, and Prescott, Arizona campuses have earned top spots in one of the country's oldest and most prestigious all-female four-day transcontinental flight competitions. Daytona Beach pilot Valdetta Mahania and co-pilot Daniel Ehrlichman finished first in collegiate competition and third overall in the 2013 Air Race Classic, while Prescott pilot Shelby King and co-pilot Anna Chersanowski finished fifth in collegiate and 12th overall. The Embry-Riddle teams competed against 45 other teams from around the world, including nearly a dozen other U.S. universities. This year's race began June 18th at Tri-Cities Airport in Pasco, Washington. The race consisted of 9 check-in spots along the way, a 2,458 statute mile route, completing the journey at Drake Field Airport in Fayetteville, Arkansas, June 21st. Embry-Riddle racers have participated in the ARC every year since 2007, finishing twice as the number one team in the collegiate subcategory and capturing the number two ranking in the overall competition. Prescott campus pilots have taken part every year since 2009, ranking as high as number 2 in the collegiate division and 6th in the overall competition. 4 people and a dog were fatally injured in an accident Saturday near Pemberton in the Canadian province of British Columbia when a self-powered glider and a Cessna 150 collided in midair near the Nairn Falls Provincial Park at about 1300 local time. News Radio 1130 reports that, according to local police, quote, one aircraft collided into another and severed the wing off the glider, end quote. The type of glider was not specified, but it was described as being, quote-unquote, self-powered. Witnesses said they saw the wings of the glider just floating, descending very slowly. The Cessna reportedly impacted the ground across a river. While some of the wreckage fell near a campground, no one on the ground was injured. The area is reportedly popular with the gliding community. Both aircraft reportedly came down in rugged areas where recovery is difficult. The Canadian Transportation Safety Board says the investigation will initially focus on GPS tracks of the two airplanes. The Russian space program has suffered another setback with the loss of a Proton-M booster carrying satellites into orbit. Footage from Russian television shows the booster leaving the launch pad, but veering off course within seconds of clearing the towers. It veered out of control, started breaking up, caught fire, and impacted the ground near the launch facility Russia leases in Kazakhstan, according to the UK news site Metro.com. The rocket's payload included three satellites that would have joined the GLONASS satellite navigation system constellation, according to the Russian news channel Rossiya 24. The RIA Novosti news service said the problem could have been caused by an engine or a guidance malfunction. The launch occurred at 0838 local time Tuesday morning. A source in Kazakhstan told the Interfax news agency that the booster had been fueled with about 187 tons of heptol. The toxic propellant was reportedly burning at the scene. The fire caused authorities to consider evacuating nearby towns. The Proton rocket was designed by the Soviet Union back in the 1960s as an ICBM capable of delivering nuclear weapons to the United States. When Aero News continues, Google's loon could be singing the wrong tune, recreating history, and Elvis has definitely left the building.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Wednesday, July 3rd. I'm Glenn Moyer. A technology analyst in Africa says that Google's Project Loon would not make it easier for people in remote areas to have access to the internet for a very basic reason. Many people in those areas simply cannot afford to buy the devices that would allow them to go online. The program being evaluated by the internet giant would use a constellation of balloons flying in the stratosphere to relay 3G signals to remote areas using solar-powered transmitters and receivers, providing Wi-Fi access. But the MIT Technology Review reports that Faris Kariuki, an entrepreneur who is working to establish a supercomputing cluster in Nairobi called iHub, says that most of Kenya already has 3G access, but the people who the Google Loon project would serve have a larger problem. They can't afford devices such as laptop computers and smartphones that would take advantage of the service. Google Loon project manager Mike Cassidy says that while Kenya does already have such access, many other countries in Africa and elsewhere do not. The program is currently being tested in rural areas of New Zealand, but Kariuki said that even if Google is able to prove that the system will work, it does not mean that people will actually use it. In April 1924, four converted World War I Douglas torpedo bombers, rechristened World Cruisers, set off from Sand Point, which at the time was Seattle's municipal airport, on an attempt to fly around the world. Two of the aircraft completed the journey after 6 months and 70 stops along the way. Now, a Seattle resident hopes to reprise the trip in a replica of the World Cruiser that he spent 12 years building from scratch, and the airplane was brought to the Seattle Museum of Flight on a flatbed trailer towed by an antique truck for its public debut on Saturday. The builder, Bob Dempster, and his wife are no strangers to long trips in small airplanes. In 2001, they flew from Seattle to Japan in a Super Cub. The Seattle Times reports that Dempster has built his open cockpit biplane replica with assistance from Seattle's Museum of Flight, McDonnell Douglas, and the Smithsonian, among others. The airplane was christened the Seattle 2, with water taken from Lake Washington instead of champagne, because alcohol was unavailable for such events in 1924 due to prohibition. While the airplane is an accurate replica, it has been updated with things like non-flammable fabric covering and GPS. Dempster said that the flight plan will be somewhat different as well, given the instability of some places in the world that were much safer back in 1924. The airplane will undergo flight tests and additional inspections over the next year before beginning the circumnavigation attempt. Elvis, the helicopter, had taken LEGO-certified professional Ryan the Brickman McNaught over 6 weeks and 100,000 of the colored plastic bricks to construct at the Cairns Central Shopping Center in northern Queensland, Australia. It took a group of young vandals only seconds to tip it over and destroy it. The online news site Cairns.com reports that a tourist saw the incident happen about 9:40 p.m. Thursday. A group of young people reportedly pushed the sculpture over, smashing it to pieces on the shopping center floor. Police are reviewing closed-circuit TV images in an effort to identify the people involved. The model was constructed as a part of a series of workshops put on by McNaught with local children. A spokesman for the shopping center said discussions were underway with McNaught to repair the structure. McNaught said he was most disappointed for the kids, who would not now be able to see Elvis, a model of an S-64 Sky Crane Hilo, but that he would not be deterred to coming back to Cairns at some point in the future. A quick program note here, as tomorrow is our nation's birthday, we plan to enjoy the holiday right along with the rest of you, so there will be no Aerocast for Thursday, July 4th. We hope you celebrate safely. We'll be back as scheduled on Friday. Thanks as always for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.